start in verse 18 in order to get the context. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor in the blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of a trumpet, the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Now you can get it in Deuteronomy, you can get it in Exodus, but it's emphasized in the book of Hebrews that they heard the voice of God and they said no more. And they said, I can't take it. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and so much as a beast touched the mountain which it was stoned with, thrust over the dark. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I see you, you fear and quake. But ye are come to Mount Zion. Now this is that Zion with a Z, but it's S, but it's Greek now. And the city of the living God, the which? Heavenly Jerusalem. Now he's talking about which one of the three mounts. You're not here. Galatians says don't stay here. If you don't believe that the whole story is about law of grace on Galatians, well, he tells you in Galatians 2, they came in from Jerusalem to spy out our liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us again to bondage. Because Jerusalem, with her children, is under bondage. So he's not talking about Adam, he's not talking about Adam, he's talking about this new Jerusalem. Why people want to go back to that old Jerusalem is strange to me. Why people think that God and Jesus and all that going to go back to that old place? Well, let me tell you something. We've been there. They don't even have good sewers. Now, if I was Jesus, I wouldn't go there. I'd go to the sewer. At least that's sewers. To the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all the spirits, of just men made perfect. Now in chapter 11, I understand it, and these are verse 39, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us cannot be made. What's the word that I'm emphasizing? Perfect. They couldn't be made perfect in verse in chapter 11, but in chapter 12, we've come to the spirits of just being made perfect. And to Jesus, mediator of the new covenant, the blood of sprinkling, the spirit of better things than of evil. Now I'm ready to read the verse, but I wanted to read it first. But I had to read all that to say this. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, they refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. God wants his people to listen to him. Men who will not be led by a voice of first wind. Moses, go up to a mountain. That's what they said. And tell us what God said. Then we'll be led by what you say. God wants every man to speak with a need to meet mountain all face to face. And Israel, in the charismatic realm, even today, is appointing Moseses to go up and listen to God and come back and tell us what he said. Because we're scared. Don't you know if we hear what God said, we'll be responsible and have to do it? So Moses, you go up and tell us, and you come back and tell us, if I don't like it, I won't do it. If I like it, I'll do it, but if I don't like it, I won't, because then I won't have to be responsible, because if I'm not responsible to you, I'll be responsible to him. God said, that's not the way I want it. Now, it is my intent from the very beginning is to speak with every man, name him, knock him out face to face. He says, you be sensitive right now, every one of you. He says, you be careful that you hear him that speaketh. And don't you let anyone else be set up over your spiritual authority. God can speak individually to every person here. I cannot see a single person here who is out of earshot of the Holy Ghost. Now let me look at you for just a minute, make sure. I believe the Holy Ghost can speak to any person here. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Turn to the one next to you, look him square in the eye and say, I believe the Holy Ghost can talk to you. That men appoint men over themselves to go up the mountain and hear from God and come back down and be our leader. That's not God's plan in the beginning. It's not what he wanted when Moses took the law, even out of Mount Sinai. The law came after this. And Moses reminded them. Did you hear him? Did you hear him? He reminded them. He said, now look at you guys. This is not the way God wanted it, but it's the way you want it. And so we're going to play by your rules, but one of these days, there's going to be a hymn in Jerusalem. And every man will speak with God, man to man, mouth to mouth, face to face. One of these days, we'll not need a hierarchy, a religious hierarchy. People that'll go up the mountain for us. He's in trouble. He winds it up and he says, our God is a consuming fire. Let me read it here. I gotta read. See your, I'm in 25 now. See your refusing not the spirit. For they escape not the refusing that spirit on earth. Much more shall we not escape the return of him that spirit from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Now this word, once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. What are shaken? Sinai was shaken with a great earthquake. He said, that's to be removed. Jerusalem has to be removed. That are shaken as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's the evangelism. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, reverence, and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. What does it mean that? Those guys would not hear the voice of God, he consumed them. When these guys would not hear the voice of God, he consumed them. And these people that are over here in the heavenly Jerusalem, you're either going to grow up and hear God individually, yourself, or be consumed. Because in the heavenly Jerusalem, there is no hierarchy. Every person is going to have to be grown up. As many of the sons of God are led to the Spirit of God. They're the sons. Not the ones that are led by all those laws. Now in Galatians, he goes on and he adds, and he said, now all of this was written as an allegory to show us to leave that old stuff. And then he goes into chapter 5 and says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled in. Say, the yoke of bondage. And then he describes the leading spirit. For brethren, we're not called under the law, but we're called under the leading of the spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, Now watch it. Use not this liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by agape serve one another. And that means that we're going to have to be all the way grown up and be perfect agape lovers in order to achieve this presence of the heavenly Jerusalem, wherein God speaks with every man to man, mouth to mouth, and face to face. Now the thing that keeps you out of the heavenly Jerusalem, according to Peter, are the stumblings of this earth. The word stumbling was used in Galatians, where we were just reading, and he said that the child, there is the heir, different level to the servant, but that child is under tutors and governors and to time appointed of the father. That he's under the elements of this world. Now, what are those elements of the world? The primary law of Moses that works now in Jerusalem and keeps us out of the heavenly. And then he says those elements are going to melt with a, because our God is a, and the thing that's got to be melted out of you, or can I say the tear that's got to be pulled out of your head, are thoughts placed there by well-meaning Christians that make you think that you can do anything to find favor with God. And as long as you're still trying to do it, then you're under the gospel of circumcision. The gospel of a mixture of law and grace. And you can't get to the New Jerusalem, and God can't talk to you, because you have, by accepting the law, rejected his voice. Now, if that didn't make sense, let me give it to you again. When the law came, sin revived, and I, oh, great is your victory of death with the sting. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. There it is again. You can't escape it. The thing that keeping us out of the third salvation, when the glory of God the Father inhabits our physical body, are the thoughts that are in our minds right now, making us think that we can do this or not do that to find favor with God. And those things have to be pulled out of tears so that we can finally and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did, not what I do. It's so simple and so complex. It is so easy and so hard. Let us labor that more than all the rest. That's an allegory. Oh, we work so hard to labor to enter into that rest. And what is the rest? It's a rest from personal righteousness, from works, from thinking that we can do anything to please God. Because God is already pleased through Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. And my righteousness is a filthy rags, but Jesus is my righteousness. I mean, in the scriptures. Well, if Jesus is my righteousness, then why am I trying to work so hard to be righteous? Well, somebody says, well, if you teach that, then everybody's going to be mad. Bad. No, look. Use not your liberty for the kingdom of the flesh, but by agape, serve one another. An agape lover will never be a bad lover. They'll never do anything wrong or hurtful. Are you seeing this? We're standing as candidates for the watchman. Change is necessary. And so am I now. So that we might receive. That's future tense. The glory of God in the physical body. But the changes that are necessary are referred to as the pulling out of the tears. Getting rid of the laws. Traditions, commandments, judgments, statutes, and ordinances, touch not, face not, handle not, which are going to do. Well, he tells you in Matthew 13, Jesus is going to come and pull them out and tie them up in the bundles and... Because our God's a consuming fire in order to get us ready for this new Jerusalem, this new Zion, this new Moriah, this new Calvary, this new perfection. Now, because it's a heavenly Jerusalem, some people think that their goal is to die and go to heaven. And for 2,000 years, the church taught us, get ready to die. We're listening to the same Bible scriptures that say, hey, wait a minute. Our goal is not to die and go to heaven. Our goal is to love and bring heaven to earth. And a godly lover brings heaven to earth. Have you ever been around one? And a godly lover can actually make you feel in a heavenly situation when you're actually in the temporal realm. You know why they do that and how they do that? What they do for you is not motivated by response. They don't do something to get something. How many have been in a love situation where somebody did something to cause you to give them something back? You know what I'm talking about, that one? That's not the one I'm talking about. It's a love situation where you give without being motivated to receive. And that's tough, isn't it? I'd rather be the receiver on that end. That's why the Bible says that kind of love can only come from God out of heaven. It's a heavenly kind of a love. It comes from God through us and makes us channels to meet the needs of others. So we believe that every person here eventually is going to say yes to Jesus in the heart. Every person here is going to say yes to the Holy Ghost in the head. And when you say yes to Jesus in the heart, you're a good Baptist. When you say yes to the Holy Ghost in the head, you're a good Methodist. So Methodists believe in what they call a second work, almost heard it. Justified and sanctified. You ever been to a good old-fashioned Methodist church? Brother, I'm saved and sanctified. Been down for a second work, second time brothers. But now we're not talking about just justified. We're not talking about just sanctified. We're talking about justified, sanctified, and glorified. Now, there are no denominations that teach this about the glorification of the body. Now, the reason for that is, Peter said that salvation is reserved in heaven. In heaven, it's incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away. But it's ready to be revealed in the... That's why they didn't see it before, and that's why the church taught us to get ready to die. I find no fault with the church that taught people to get ready to die, because when they taught those lessons, those were not the last days. But how many have something that turns within you, and when you look at Israel, when you look at Jordan, when you look at the Arabs, when you look at the, Iraq and Iran, you say, hey, we're in the... I mean, it's inexplicable conclusion to anyone who reads the Bible. And it's got to the point where you don't even argue about that now, they do. Even when I meet people that are not completely non-religious, they don't argue that point. They say we're in the last days. Everybody, if you don't believe it from the Bible, then just believe it from the cesspool. No matter what you look at, all signs point to the fact that the enemy is going to be generation. So it said, at that time I'm going to reveal a third salvation. A salvation of the Spirit that was taken, that took place in Jesus Christ on Mount Calvary. A salvation of the soul that took place when the Holy Ghost began to bring these after words, sell our souls, James 1:21. But now I want to bring you to a salvation of the body. And the glory of God the Father when we have physical bodies. Now in order to achieve this, we have to make the prayer again. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you to pray the same way we prayed before. But I want you to make an articulate confession right now and say with your mouth, Jesus is the Christ. Say it. Jesus is the Christ. Now, if you've never said it before, say it now. Say it. Just flow with us. It'll be easy. It'll be easier than it's ever been. We're not going to make anybody come up the aisle. It's not that kind of thing. But just say it with your mouth. Jesus is the Christ. Say it. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus has come in the flesh. Jesus has come in the flesh, and Jesus is Lord. Now, the Bible says that any spirit that can make this confession is of God. Praise God. Did you hear that? Any spirit that can make this confession is of God. You've been led tonight to make this confession, but perhaps at another time you'll make it voluntarily, or at least your following this leading was voluntary tonight. I don't know which. But whichever it was, eventually, through a voluntary method, you're going to agree that Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus actually came in the flesh. And when it says Jesus is Lord, the word Lord means boss. Jesus is chief honcho. He is final authority. He is president of the company, chairman of the board. Okay. When we make this confession, then that settles it, and that starts a process going that eventually brings the Bible, the Word of God, into our soul. Then that starts a process going when attitudes begin to change. And finally, when attitudes begin to change in the mind, we notice that a process takes place that begins to show the body. And the body begins to show that the mind has changed. And that's why we look in the mirror. The glory of God. Because we're going through a process of spirit, soul, and body. Now, so I'm going to pray for you the same way, and I want you to agree with me, like Paul, that every spirit and soul and body will be preserved, say it, blameless until the coming of the Lord. Stand with me while we pray, please. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for eyes that see and ears that hear. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit will move upon us tonight, and that the words that we've said from the Bible will be life and light to us, make sense to us, and cause us to see how it is that we move from one area to another area to another area to another area, that we change from this to that as we go on, and that we finally become perfect in spirit and soul and body. Thank you, Lord, for the changes in spirit. As that old hidden man of the heart, that man who is deceitful and desperately wicked, is now right there with the blood of Jesus. And the salvation that Jesus brought has brought us into perfection in spirit realm. We pray, Lord, that each one of us will receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save our souls, change our minds, make us into what we ought to be instead of what we are. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost will add the word of God to a miracle process and change us and flesh us and strengthen us in our soul, mind, realm as our attitudes change. We pray that we'll all stand as candidates in the physical body as well, so that this body, either in the realm of the glory of God the Father, will be the inhabitant of the glory will inhabit the physical body. And then we can reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Get these changes in us, Lord, and make us what we ought to be. And now we agree that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In His name we pray.